Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Steve Rosenblum.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and say, come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know, no sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK. Good morning. Welcome. You found him? Did you find him,
yeah,
Trash Panda?
I found Grody. Yeah.
I'm here. Okay. I'm here. I'm ready for our special program.
Yes, we are. This is a special program.
Where's Grody?
Where's Grody? Yeah. Where's Mark? Well, I guess, Saturday Suckage. We might as well take attendance for Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Grobber.
It sucks, and it freebases.
Mike Tomlin.
Sucking.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Brian Cashman.
I also know that we suck right now.
Albert Almora.
Damn, Willie, man, like, do we suck?
Chris Rock.
I suck so bad, they used to pick me after the white kids.
Pat Fitzgerald.
Sometimes you got to embrace the suck.
Aloy.
Hey, you guys not gonna make anyway. You guys are suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Toby.
Oh my God, this sucks.
Mark Grody.
Lucas Giolito, Garrett Crochet, Aaron Bummer, and Craig Kimbrell. Sucks.
Wow. Yeah. So
did Aloy. You guys on Saturday morning, by the way. I mean, you're an outstanding individual.
Well, that really goes against everything we believe in, but okay. Yeah.
Well, that's the Wake and Bake Club, clearly. And boy, yes. Do Sox fans need the Wake and Bake Club today. Oh, my God.
And we were promoted by our boss, but he only promoted the ending of our show.
Yes, he did. Spilka said, oh, my God, right after this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be. And it is a spectacular broadcast event, by the way. Because after we're done here, and for Spilkus, apparently, it can't come soon enough. Vegas, baby, Vegas! Parkins and Spiegel show will go extra innings, bonus panels, free radio from 2 to 5. They will be broadcasting from the Circa Swim, the Circa Las Vegas pool. A Bears-Raiders preview from downtown Las Vegas. Oh, my God. The pictures of that are spectacular. And the pictures of, I want to see that whole afternoon show in, like, Speedos. I think that would really sell the thing.
Yeah, I think it's time. It's time that they are exposed, if you will.
Yeah. So, Tony La Russa kind of got exposed, right? The White Sox kind of got exposed, right?
Yeah.
That stuff. Everything, all the criticism that people tried to give the Heisman to, right? It was a weak division. They're playing bad in the second half. They can't be good teams. The manager is who he thought he was. And they haven't won a game in Houston all year. It's 0-4 in June and now 0-2 in October. So they come home, and that is their status. And they come home with doubts about the manager handling the bullpen, which was supposed to be the one thing, the singular thing that gave the Sox an advantage over everybody, because he was a master of the bullpen. How you fixed for that, Mark Grody?
I agree, but as I said last night, I am more angry, or my angst is more directed at the players that failed in the game yesterday. And Lucas Giolito does not get a pass from me, because those two walks in the fifth inning, after the White Sox had a brilliant top of the fifth inning, where it felt to me like the entire series was changing. There was a breakthrough in that top of the fifth inning when the White Sox took a 4-2 lead on big hits from Luis Robert and RBIs from Jose Abreu and Yaz Grandal. And then the job of a top of the rotation guy is supposed to be in the very next inning. Your job is to hold that, then keep that momentum. That's one of the tricks of the trade. And guess who didn't do it? Lucas Giolito walks two guys in that fifth inning. Now, we could definitely complain about Tony La Russa bringing in Garrett Crochet, for sure, if you'd like. I'm not here to knock that down. But he comes in, he walks the guy who essentially he was brought in for. Tony decided that the most dangerous guy that would be faced would be Yordan Alvarez, the lefty. And he walks him, and then gives up the crucial two-run single to Yuli Gurriel. The bummer comes in, gives up a couple of hits, and Alvarez, again, the lefty, lefty on lefty, RBI hit, and then Craig Kimbrell is just a disaster. So I'm down with the Tony bashing, if you would like, but my anger is definitely more directed towards those relievers who were walking guys.
Yep. The players get the blame, too. The manager did not put his team in a position to win, but the players, you can go back to the first inning. Aloy and Johan Moncada. Johan Moncada. You do such a great Benetti when you do that.
Johan Moncada.
Yeah, I can't. That's what I hear in my head every time.
It's been a while. Bring him home.
So they got bases loaded and one out. And these are the guys who weren't there when they got swept in Houston. And you thought, okay, this guy, they're going to show you something. And no, they barely got a run. And I thought that was going to come back to haunt them. I thought that was just bad news. That should have been a 3-4-5 run inning. If you're the kind of team you say you are, and you can beat good teams and you can beat them on the road. And you're right about Giolito. He's got to come out and he's got to have a shutdown inning after that.
That inning.
They,
yep.
yeah, they got you lead and you do that. But here's the thing is not just Crochet was the wrong choice for especially for a guy who has always been very numbers oriented, because Yordan Alvarez, the left-handed hitter, and here comes Crochet. Alvarez hits left-handed pitchers better than he hits righties. Every part of his slash line is higher against lefties than righties. Gurriel kills lefties. And bang, there's your game-tying two-run single. So pulling Giolito wasn't a problem. Pulling Giolito for the wrong guy was the problem. And that's when you play the Michael Kopech card. That's what should have happened. I don't know how this eludes Tony and his illogic, because the statements, the moves are one thing, but the statements, whether it's his explanations or his defense of what he did, when you say if we needed him, meaning Kopech, to win the game, we would have pitched him. Well, you needed him in the fifth inning. You had a lead. You needed to protect the lead. Saves aren't always coming in the ninth inning. And that's why you have, essentially, that's why you acquired Kimbrel, is because saves aren't always in the ninth inning. And the handedness issue with which he made that decision, maybe he has access to different numbers that swayed him. I just, if you see the first guy up hits lefties better than righties, and you bring in a lefty, and the guy after that kills lefties, there can't be anything right about that move. And I'm just stunned by that, because this is the guy they brought in. I mean, they may have to fire Ricky Renteria again, right? They may have to fire Don Cooper again, because these dugout decisions are so bad. This is what Ricky Renteria and Don Cooper got fired for, right? I mean, it's a combination of things. It wasn't just one move, but when it showed in the playoffs, this is when Tony La Russa is supposed to give the Sox an edge. He hasn't. And players, I'm not letting the players off the hook. They failed. You know, you get 18 hits, and none of them are longer than a single. None of them are worth more than a single. That's a record. That's a major league record there, kids.
One thing I failed to take into account with Tony La Russa, because I was like, all right, no matter what bad has happened this year with Tony La Russa, and we know that there's a top five list of horrible managing moments that Tony La Russa had this year, my thought was, okay, this is Tony's time. There is no manager more experienced and equipped to be the manager in a playoff game. What I should have taken into account more, I should have said, is the three-batter minimum rule. And when Tony was managing and micromanaging a bullpen successfully, he could bring in Garrett Crochet to get Yordan Alvarez and then bring in the right-handed guy to face Yuli Gurriel or whomever. And let's face it, Tony La Russa, he's lost some of his superpowers because of that rule, and he doesn't seem particularly good at looking ahead. So I think that it's very simple to narrow it down to that this is not Tony La Russa's kind of managing.
The other
he's not good
part
at
of
it.
No. He's not. I still don't understand it. The illogic, his logic eludes me. It's illogic to me, because I don't see how you could look at basic numbers or new basic numbers and say, I want the left-hander against the guy who hits left-handers better than right-handers. And you've got Kopech there, and you haven't used him. And then you would go on to admit that Kopech probably would have been available Sunday had he pitched on Friday. And you have a Kopech inning, you have a mid-game save situation, and a guy throwing 100 miles an hour, and you've stretched him out, and you've given him, there's your bridge to Kimbrel or whatever else you're going to do. But there you bring in this weapon that you've groomed for a situation just like this. And the other part of the quote that is just mind-boggling is La Russa saying, whatever happens on Sunday, we've got his length there, meaning Kopech. That's another big asset for us. We didn't have to waste it. He could have pitched an inning today and still been available. He'll be even more available. This sounds desperately stupid to me. And I know that he's a Hall of Fame manager. I do not understand any of that. You know what this reminded me of? This reminded me of Lou Piniella pulling Zambrano after six innings of a tie game against the Diamondbacks to get him ready for a game that still hasn't been played.
That happened.
Yes, it did.
And they didn't win a single game in that series. Didn't win a single game.
And you can only win the game in front of you. I mean, there's so much Matt Nagy-ness to this whole thing about making bad decisions, and the game in front of you is the thing that's the most important. And I just don't get it.
Yeah, he doesn't have that thing that other managers have in the postseason. I the word desperation comes to mind, or do whatever the hell you have to. That's one of the joys of watching the postseason is, oh, you're going to bring in that starter to pitch the fourth inning? Oh, that's pretty odd. Like, Tony is not doing that so far. And it also says to me, and this is not necessarily good, that the plan, the rough draft that Tony La Russa and or Rick Hahn had set out was to have Kopech ready to pitch serious innings in game three. I'm not saying that he's going to start. In fact, I don't think he's going to be named starter for that game tomorrow, game three out on the south side. But it does says to me that that's the game that they have penciled him in to potentially pitch some real innings, because they have not named a starter for that game. They're a little conflicted on who is going to give them the best chance to win, whether it's Carlos Rodon at 92 miles per hour or young Dylan Cease, who, while he has looked great towards the end of the season and he's a strikeout machine, he's still a guy that can be a little bit flaky at times. And do you want to put him in and say, yep, you're our guy here in the postseason? So my guess is that he had Kopech penciled in for a prominent role in game three. But to your point, you simply can't do that. You can't stick with the script, kind of the way Joe Maddon did in game seven of the World Series. He stuck with a script and he almost got burned. You know what I mean? Yeah. It worked out, but he stuck with a script instead of thinking outside of the box or doing what you have to do in that scenario or letting things play out, like Kyle Hendricks maybe staying the game a little bit longer. And yeah, it's an unwillingness to be a little bit creative from Tony La Russa for sure.
Well, manage the game that's in front of you.
Yeah.
You have no idea. It's 2 days later. You have no idea what will be happening. It looks like the forecast is clear, but suddenly maybe you get rain. Something happens. Something could happen. The game in front of you, most important to get a split in Houston, would have been huge to win in Houston.
Yeah.
You're a really good home team. If you get that game, okay, you missed it in the first. You didn't capitalize in the first inning when you should have, but you got a lead in the fifth. Now, shut them down. The bullpen was supposed to be the strongest part of this team. The manager, greatest strength, advantage over everybody, was his handling of the bullpen, and that just became a disaster. We'll continue talking about this disaster. We'll take a break here, and we will talk with Josh Nelson of the Sox Machine. Later on, at top of the hour, we will talk with Cam Ellis of Odyssey and the Score. We'll talk Bears. You know the Bears play tomorrow?
Mark? Yeah, I know. Bears play. Yes.
In Las Vegas. We're the pregame show for the Parkins and Spiegel show broadcasting poolside.
Now, are we supposed to throw to them now? Is our show over? Is that what Mitch said? Like, should we just throw to them? What's going on?
Yeah, I believe that there's a 2-hour and 45-minute tanny open that they've
got
all ready for this. Vegas, baby, Vegas.
Oh,
we should just play that. Just John Favreau from Swingers. And Vegas, baby, Vegas. And Vince Vaughn screaming,
wait a
Vegas,
minute. Does Tanny have to come in today, Studs? Does he
No.
Okay.
They gave him the day off. I think Sean Anderson's coming in.
Okay, and he didn't go to Vegas, Tanny.
No.
I like the way Tanny keeps his distance. That's smart.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
And he's the one who spotted the Aloy. He's the one who spotted the Aloy suck cut to join our roll call.
Oh,
he's a fan of the program. Tanny. He's probably listening right now, actually.
Yeah, that's Tanny making a play. You know what? That's big time right there. So we're gonna do that. We'll do What Mark Heard later on. We have much to discuss. And it probably who's worse at handling arms, La Russa or Nagy. We have quite the discussion to be had. Our phone number, 312-644-6767. You can also reach us via text, by using that number, 312-644-6767. The Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. We'll take a break, and we will come back to the Hyundai Studios presented by your local Hyundai dealers and talk some more White Sox. And the Wake and Bake Club is much needed at this point. He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thanks for joining us on Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Hit sharply and throw for a base hit. It's going to tie the game.
Well, you have to watch the inning develop. You know, he pitched really well. He walks the leadoff guy with a 2-run lead. And there was another walk. He did get Bradley. I didn't hit the ball hard someplace. And then, you know, he walked Bregman. To me, he had given us what he could. And, you know, I like the matchup of one of our lefties against Alvarez, and he walks him. So but that's what I looked at. I mean, he had worked hard at that point, and he's got a 2-run lead. Last thing he's trying to do is walk guys. So that shows you that, you know, he's right near the end for me.
Tony Russa explaining why he lifted Giolito. That's okay. Why he brought in Crochet, that's not okay. He liked the matchup where the guy, the left-handed hitter, hits left-handers better than right-handers. And Michael Kopech still hasn't pitched in this series in which the Sox come home down 0-2. Welcome in. Welcome back. Saturday Suckage indeed. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody with you. We go to the Scorers hotline. presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book and poolside today. After we're done, the end of our show that Spilkis is so calling for and so anticipating will be the Parkins and Spiegel show for 3 hours poolside. Yeah. And Danny tweeted out that the Bare Naked Ladies might join them. I don't know if that's the group or simply what happens in Vegas. So
yeah,
way,
I prefer the latter. I prefer the latter.
Either way, you'll tune in. There was a place they called Rehab. There was a Sunday at a particular pool on a hotel in Las Vegas was called Rehab. And Sunday morning was where all of the adult dancers, the exotic dancers, would just show up and work off the night.
And with Bloody Marys and mimosas, I presume.
That's it. That's the way it works. But that's not why you called. We called Josh Nelson, the Sox machine, to welcome him back to the show. And we hope that all Sox fans brought their own bong. You're going to need it to get through it. Josh, so what was the most aggravating? Thanks for joining us. Thanks for getting up. Thanks for being around. And what was the worst part of yesterday's game for you beside the result?
Well, first, I got to bring you along for a Vegas trip because it sounds like you know the places to go. The most aggravating to me was having Giolito start the fifth inning. And the reason why it was most aggravating, on what happened at the top of the fifth inning, your offense, despite not hitting for power, found a way to give you a 4-2 lead. And looking at the Astros lineup, it's the third time through the order. And everybody in baseball knows how dangerous this Astros lineup is when they see a pitcher for the third time. I just didn't feel like it was worth the risk. Giolito gave you what you needed. He put the team in a position to win. And I know it's just four innings, but this is postseason baseball we're talking about. You have a 4-2 lead. You didn't even touch any of your bullpen in game one. You went to Ronaldo Lopez, Garrett Crochet, and Jose Ruiz, three of the guys that you're really not counting on in this postseason. And they held the Astros to one run over the same game frame as far as time span in game one. I figured going to Kopech, Bummer, Kimbrel, and Hendricks, if they can duplicate what you did in game one, you can steal game two and go back home tied up 1-1. But when Giolito started the fifth inning, you could just tell that he was starting to run out of gas. Even though he had about 70 pitches, he was throwing some high leverage pitches, some high pressure pitches in innings in the second and third innings. And when you walk the two guys and you bring in Crochet, which Crochet is not very good in these situations with runners on base for the White Sox this season, he's still a young guy. And then to see them lose that lead, you lost all the momentum that you gained in the top of the fifth inning and coughed up the lead in the bottom of the fifth inning. And then the seventh inning just spiraled out of control. So out of all the decisions, having Giolito start the fifth inning is most aggravating because I thought he pitched well enough to give you the lead and to put the White Sox in a position to win. You just need to use your best relievers, and one including Michael Kopech, who can throw a couple of innings, to carry you the rest of the way so you can at least steal a game from Houston and come back home in a much better position than they are right now.
As for the spiraling seventh, as you put it, Josh, Craig Kimbrel gives up the two-run double to Carlos Correa, the homer to Kyle Tucker to really twist it for the White Sox. I can't believe I'm asking this, but do the Sox have to figure out a way tomorrow and hopefully going forward for the White Sox to not use Craig Kimbrel?
That's a great question. My partner Jim Margulis wrote about this on our site, SoxMachine.com. He wants Liam Hendricks to throw two innings. And I thought that was not extreme, but that's a lot on Liam Hendricks to cover two innings. And it raises the question of, then why in the world did Rick Hahn trade for Craig Kimbrel? Like, you acquired Kimbrel to help you out in these situations. And now you bring up a good point, Mark. If the White Sox have the lead going into the eighth inning tomorrow, Yeah, I think you got to ask Liam Hendricks to get a 5 or 6 out save. Yep. Just because of the level of distrust right now with Craig Kimbrell. He's just not able to pitch clean innings. And, man, I don't know what the White Sox are going to do in the offseason regarding that club option for Craig Kimbrell. It's a lot of money for a setup guy. Or, I don't know, I've never seen a team have two closers before or spend about $30 million on two relievers in the same bullpen outside of the New York Yankees. So maybe it could work. But there's just so many questions surrounding Craig Kimbrell, and you bring up a good one. If they have the lead in the eighth inning, who should get the ball? And I'm thinking, yeah, give it to Liam Hendricks and see if he can get you a two-inning save.
Well, he's as rested as Kopech. That's the way this.
I know.
That's the way this has played out. Help me out here. It from the start, from the first, in the first blush of 24 hours of the Sox acquired Kimbrell, Liam Hendricks made it clear. I don't care when I pitch. I don't care what I do. I'm happy and I want more innings. That seems like your seventh and eighth inning guy. And at the time of the trade, Craig Kimbrell, by far, was the best reliever in baseball. He was outstanding. He was untouchable. And I don't know why that was never... If Hendricks comes forward with that, why wouldn't you do it? Because it answers the question. It solves the problem. You get everybody in. And then you don't have La Russa coming off like an idiot. I cannot believe this quote. I was stunned that he said that he's a closer at heart. That's not his situation. Well, why did the idiot manager put him in that situation? So I don't understand how you got to this point that it's still almost a clown college at this point, trying to figure out the end of the game with a bullpen that's supposed to be so good. Can you connect any dots for me?
I wish I could. I really wish I could, because I'm in the same boat that you are. And I'm glad that Tony La Russa brings this up now, down 2-0, and the next time that you lose, your season is over. This is just terrible timing, and I don't know if there's a conflict between the White Sox front office and the White Sox clubhouse on how to use their prized trade possession that they acquired at the deadline in Craig Kimbrell. I mean, if that's how Tony feels, okay, then in the seventh inning, go to Liam Hendricks, and Liam carry us through the seventh and eighth inning, because those innings are going to be important as well, and give the ball to Craig Kimbrell in the ninth inning, and that's when he feels most comfortable now. I didn't necessarily agree with that during the regular season, because I felt, pitchers should just have the mindset whenever you're out there, get three outs. And clearly, Craig Kimbrell can't do that unless it's the ninth inning, so might as well put your players in the best position possible to win the game. And I guess I have a change of heart in mind that, sure, have Craig Kimbrell close it then, and that puts him in the best spot to perform. And that whole line of thinking is why, for those that are being La Russa apologists right now and saying that he didn't cost the White Sox yesterday, that it was the players. Part of that is true. The offense needs to hit for more power. Lucas Giolito and Garrett Crochet need to stop walking guys. Craig Kimbrell needs to stop being terrible. Lurie Garcia needs to know how to play the outfield. Ooh. However, a Major League Baseball manager is paid millions of dollars a season because they're supposed to put the best guys on the field at any given moment. That is their job. Tony La Russa did not do that in Game 2, and that's why the White Sox are down 2-0, and we don't know if tomorrow night the blackout game is going to be the biggest party in Chicago or it's going to be the biggest Irish wake.
it's going to be a really, really nervous party is what it's going to be. I think that that's the case. And as for that game, Josh, all right, let's do it. How would you line up the pitching for tomorrow? Who do you start? What's the process?
All right, there's a difference between what I would do and what Tony La Russa is going to do. I would have Dylan Cease go. I would have Dylan Cease go because I think his fastball-slider combination is enough to keep the Astros hitters at bay. I think we're going to see Carlos Rodon. And we may see Rodon for 3 to 4 innings because of where he's at right now with the shoulder. And then we're going to see Michael Kopech go for 2 to 3 innings. That's just how I feel right now. No matter what, Michael Kopech needs to pitch tomorrow. If Michael Kopech does not pitch in this series, it's just going to raise so many questions, because the nepotism, the drunk driving charge, we were told as White Sox fans, get over it, deal with it, because come October, Tony's going to win his games. There's so much pressure on him as a manager to get this right for tomorrow night. So I would go Dylan Cease, but I feel like La Russa is going to go with Carlos Rodon, which is fine because Rodon pitched well against Houston this year, but Rodon doesn't have the same stuff that he did in June and July.
Our guest is Josh Nelson of Sox Machine. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you on Saturday Suckage. So, of course, we're talking about the White Sox. You said you want the White Sox to hit for more power. How about any power? 18 hits, all singles. The teams that out-homer their opponents in the playoffs are 6-0 already. So that is there you go. It's homer or go home, and that's where the White Sox are. What is Houston doing, or what are the White Sox hitters, perhaps anxiously, eager? What are they doing to themselves? What have you seen? Are they getting themselves out? Are they trying to do too much in all of their swings? Or is Houston just that good? The pitching's just that spot on so far, Josh?
Well, I think what I've seen is that the White Sox are trying to be patient. They're trying to draw walks against these Houston pitchers. And they have the right approach in the first pitch, because I'm seeing a lot of breaking pitches from Lance McCullers and Framber Valdez yesterday against White Sox hitters. Both McCullers and Valdez were trying to steal strike one with a breaking pitch. However, once the Astros pitchers get behind, they are not afraid of these White Sox hitters. They are attacking them in pitch two and pitch three in the sequence, and all of a sudden they feel good. They're up 1-0 in the count, and now they're down 1-2. And the White Sox hitters are making adjustments where they miss out on these opportunities, especially in the second pitch of the at bat, to go for the fences with a big swing. And they get into these positions where they have to cut down their swing to just put the bat on the ball and put it into play. And they're hitting a bunch of singles, which, you know, during the regular season is fine. You're raising your batting average, you're raising your on-base percentage, et cetera, et cetera. But in the postseason, man, watching the Brewers-Braves game, what was the big deciding factor? Home runs, Rowdy Tellez with a two-run shot. How did Boston come from behind when Tampa Bay put up a five spot in the first inning? They hit five home runs. What sucked the life out of the Los Angeles Dodgers last night? Buster Posey hitting an Oppo Taco, a two-run shot, and then Brandon Crawford later in the game hitting a big home run. Home runs are everything in the postseason. So Frank Menachino, the hitting coach of the White Sox, he needs to change the game plan going to game three. They need to be search and destroy. What is the one pitch that we can punish Luis Garcia, the rookie pitcher who will be starting game three for the Astros tomorrow? What is the one pitch that we can crush? Because that is what everybody needs to be focusing on. It's not so much let's get on base and try to put three hits together in an inning and score. That's not working right now. Instead, you got to aim for the bleachers, and that's what White Sox hitters should be focusing on tomorrow. What pitch can I crush?
Well, and I'll say it. This is the obvious that Luis Robert, he's my pick to click. He definitely looks like a guy who is heading towards that big bop, because he is just laying into everything. He hasn't had the massive hit yet, but I really like the way he's swinging the bat right now. It is heartening to see that.
Oh, yeah, he's the best player. And I've been saying it for a month now, even going into next season. I think he's going to be a popular, based on the experts, especially gambling experts. Luis Robert is probably going to have a lot of money on him going for the 2022 American League MVP futures, just because he's putting it all together. And even though he hasn't hit an extra base hit, you're right, Mark. It feels like something is coming. Out of all the players in this lineup, who's going to hit an early home run to set the tone? I think it's going to be Luis Robert. He's been fantastic this postseason. You can't ask any more from him. And he's giving, you know, Abreu yesterday and Grandal and even the day before Jimenez. He's on base for these guys. Abreu's got a couple of hits in each of these games, so that's good to see with him battling the flu. But we still haven't seen a big hit from Yasmani Grandal or Eloy Jimenez in this series. And the White Sox really need that because these guys are constantly coming up to bat and they constantly have guys on base for them. And if you're looking for a 2 or 3 run homer, it's going to come from Grandal or Jimenez because they just have a couple guys on base because Anderson and Robert, they're doing their job and getting on base. So fingers crossed that Grandal or Jimenez, you know, finds the bleachers tomorrow. But I'm with you, Mark. A great pick to quick to hit a homer is going to be Luis Robert.
Josh, we appreciate your time. I'm glad you and the Sun came up today, so there's still some hope.
Yeah,
well, they
absolutely.
Did win. And they did win 2 games against Houston, 2 games in a row against Houston this year at home. Yeah. However, it came after a loss in a game started by Dylan Cease.
Yeah. Well, you know, the reward is if the White Sox win Sunday, Monday, you get to face Lance McCullers again in Houston on Wednesday. So that's the reward for winning these next few games.
All right. Well, so pack that bong. All right. Thanks, Josh. We appreciate your time.
See you later.
No problem.
Josh.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Josh Nelson, Sox Machine, and we've talked enough about the Sox. You know what? Let's talk about something happier. The Bears named a starting quarterback, a new starting quarterback, going forward. Although the Bears don't often go forward, they say going forward, this will be the guy. Mark, can we talk about that? Can we do that?
Absolutely.
Next?
Hey, that's what I majored in. I majored in Bears, so let's
Bears.
Do it.
All right. He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday suckage. We suck so you don't have to. We'll be back.
My parents were actually at my house last night. I told them, and they wanted to go out to celebrate, and I told them, nah, I'm cool because I'm trying to win this weekend. So, I mean, there's nothing. I mean, of course, there's, you know, some reason to celebrate, but, you know, I'm not just going to be complacent with where I'm at. I'm going to continue to grow, continue to get better, and just try to work hard each and every day to, you know, get wins on Sunday. So.
They didn't go out without you?
They went out without me, yeah, so.
Where'd they go?
At home. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where they went last night, but, yeah, they went out without me last night.
Did you celebrate by, were you just home alone?
I was just home, yeah, with my dog, Uno, watching film last night, so that's all I was doing.
And we are all Uno. Okay. That is Justin Fields, the new starting quarterback, newly named starting quarterback, no matter what. And in a curious turn of events, suddenly, magically, he became the starter no matter what Andy Dalton's knee said, no matter what anybody said. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. Saturday Suckage, we're here. Mark, so I need you to explain this to me because the day before they made this decision, Nagy said he's not making a decision until they find out about Andy Dalton's knee, and if it was good, he was going to start in Vegas. And the next day, Justin Fields is the starting quarterback. So, it would appear that Nagy got neutered. It appeared that someone came down and said, I'm just chopping these off right now, and Justin Fields is going to be the starter, and you're going to go out and tell everybody. Can you connect these dots for me? How does this happen? And in a span of time where nothing makes sense about what the interim coach of the Bears said?
I think that if you have, not just you, Steve Rosenblum, but anybody has a theory on why Justin Fields has become the starter despite Andy Dalton's full health, I think that you are partly correct. I think there has been such, obviously, overwhelming desire to see Justin Fields from everybody, from the fans to the local media to the national media, everybody. And there is human nature involved, and Nagy has gotten hammered over the last several weeks for some of what he has said and some of the decisions that he has made regarding the quarterback. And I don't know exactly what happened organizationally, but I do think that there was, he talked a lot about these conversations that have been had, whether it's with the players, whether it's with his assistant coaches, and it probably goes to his bosses too. And I said this a couple of weeks ago, that I think that there had to be an organizational decision that was made and discussed regarding Justin Fields, period, and Matt Nagy, for that matter, because I think that to go with that, there had to have been something said to Nagy regarding, hey, we got your back. We would like you to start Justin Fields, and we also have your back in terms of this is the direction we want to go. Yeah, we want to win, but it's more important that we finally develop a franchise freaking quarterback for the Chicago Bears. And right now they are putting, the organization is putting their hope behind Justin Fields being that guy. Steve? Hal? Did we lose Steve Studs?
Yeah, I think we lost him again.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's my...
I'll try to get him back here.
Okay, that's fine. I'll just talk. That has been my philosophy about it, because so many things have been thrown around in regards to his change of heart. And ultimately, you shouldn't care, because he is starting. And unless it's just absolutely disastrous on the field, he is going to start against Vegas. He is going to start the following week against the Green Bay Packers, then at Tampa Bay, then home against San Francisco, then at Pittsburgh. So he is the guy going forward. He's going to be allowed to play through the pain, and it's not always going to be pretty. But in terms of the Bears-Raiders game, here's where the Bears can win the game for sure. And it's an old story, but it is defense. Look, Derek Carr has been great this year. He has been terrific, but he has not been well protected this year. Vegas has allowed 12 sacks. They have a rookie right tackle in Alex Leatherwood. They have a center in Andre James, who has struggled so far this year. And as a matter of fact, from what I understand, Leatherwood has been practicing at guard this week, so they may be going through their own reconfiguration offensively. And Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn have played really well together this year. I think they have a chance to dominate that offensive line this game and get to Derek Carr. And I think it is. It will have to be defensively to get the win. Now, in terms of Justin Fields going up against the Raiders, Steve, I think that, look, the Raiders defense is good, but it ain't Cleveland good. It's not Detroit bad. It's probably somewhere in the middle. So there are things that Justin Fields can do. But one thing, Steve, in particular, that I would like to see Justin Fields do, and welcome back to the show, I'd like to see him get to know Cole Kmet. You know, maybe shake his hand before the game, maybe have a quick conversation with him and say, hey, I'm here, and maybe honestly, force a couple of early connections. You know what I mean? Just to establish that, even if it's not like for huge yardage, just to get him comfortable throwing to the tight end, because right now, in terms of pass catching with Justin Fields, they've been obsolete. And it's ironic, because Fields was so connected to his tight ends in the preseason and in practices with Jesse James and old Jesper Horsted, and then all of a sudden his only guy is Darnell Mooney. So there needs to be more friends than Darnell Mooney.
Old Jesper Horsted.
Old wow. Jesse, really, yep.
Going rawhide on that one.
Yeah,
now, I ran into our friend Dan Durkin yesterday. And
oh, nice.
I brought up the idea, because the many things going on in here is a very loud indoor stadium. And he said some of it might be mitigated because while the stadium's loud, the domed stadium is loud, there'll be a lot of Bears fans out there, and most of them know to shut up when the Bears have the ball. But there's the issue of the offensive line with a silent count. Justin Fields, offensive line, silent count, making it all work, which may or may not, you know, which relies on, makes it more acute, the quarterback and prospective receivers seeing the same thing, right? So they have to communicate just simply by looks, and they have to have the same read. He made it a point to say Jermaine Ifedi is going to be in a lot of trouble if he's got a single block Max Crosby. Durkin was looking at the tape and was saying that this is going to be a handful. It might not be your blind side, but it's going to be your front side. And that may hasten, as your point, may hasten Justin Fields finding a tight end. Hey, Cole Kmet. Maybe Cole Kmet's mom could introduce him. You know what? We've been trying to be the mom show.
Yeah,
maybe we could do that. They could make a play date for the guys.
Yeah, and I agree with you with Dan, too, the concern of Max Crosby. Although he has two sacks this year, does Crosby, both of those in the first game against Baltimore. I don't think he's had a sack since, and you can't rule out Yannick Ngakoue either. Both of those guys are extremely effective in getting to the quarterback, and Denzel Perryman is gonna tackle you. So this is a very aggressive, active defense, but like I said, they're not gonna come at you the way the Cleveland Browns did.
You're right. Crosby's had those two sacks though came against Lamar.
That's true.
Came against Lamar.
Yep.
And that's, you know, we know what that profile is, and that's a hell of a thing to sack him. So we'll see what happens. We will, you know what? We will continue the discussion of the Bears, and we'll continue my participation in this here radio show, technology permitting. When we talk with Cam Ellis of Odyssey and the Score, we will talk Bears right here on Saturday Suckage. Mark Grody, Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
So you want to start a business? You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills. But you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.